This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark, Julian Ng, and Wang Xiaoning. Now, Japan, for a long time, banned casinos until they legalized them in July of last year. And since then, there has been quite the fierce race to win the rights to host one of Japan's three integrated resorts. So eight parties have so far expressed interest, including Hokkaido, Chiba City, Tokyo, Yokohama, Nagoya, an alliance of Osaka Prefecture and Osaka City, as well as the Wakayama Prefecture and the Nagasaki Prefecture.
So understandably, there's quite a lot of money in this. Fitch actually estimates that revenues would exceed $10 billion, which is higher than their previous forecast of about $7 billion, and not to mention the boost to tourism as well to the country.
Yeah, despite the positive outlook on the revenue, the return on investment is still expected to be good at around 10% or higher. But uncertainties, of course, are the potential higher gaming tax rate, higher development costs, and the bureaucratic red tape. And these integrated resorts are slated to open in 2025.
So for more on this morning, we speak to Colin Mansfield, Director of US Corporates over at Fitch Ratings. Now, thank you for joining us, Colin. The policy shift to allow the opening of casinos in Japan is pretty historic, given the country's long-held ban on private sector gambling. Is the legislative framework in place for such a move, and are there any major legal obstacles that you see?
No, I mean, at this point, a lot of the major hurdles have already been passed. The implementation of the law, of course, and we're now moving into a phase where we're really starting to see some of the municipalities come forward and expressed interest in wanting operators to consider their locations for bidding. So at this point, even though we're still a number of years away, I think, from actual casinos opening, there's still a lot of steps and milestones that we need to hit. But in terms of actually getting them to open and casinos coming to this market, we feel pretty positive that they're going to happen at this point. We're expecting, I should say, that some of these municipalities that are interested in hosting the casino operators have requests for concepts out right now. Pretty soon we would expect a little bit more official RFPs or requests for proposals, where there can be a sort of a back and forth between the operators and the municipalities in terms of wanting, what they want to build, what they're considering, costs, things like that. But then you also need to consider there needs to be an evaluation period of those bids and an actual awarding of the license, which could take, as little as, let's say, a year to potentially more. And then you're talking about a development phase that could be anywhere from 3-4 years potentially. So, we're really not expecting anything to open until around 2025, let's say. So we're still a little bit ways away. But at this point, like I had mentioned before, I think the more major hurdles have already been cleared. And we're moving into this next phase of getting ready to actually find out, what exact cities these operators are going to bid on, and then ultimately who's going to be awarded the three licenses in those locations.
And Japan is allowing for up to three integrated resorts to be developed. So Colin, which cities have thrown their hats into the ring so far?
I think the biggest two that we know of are Osaka and Yokohama, which is more in the greater Tokyo area, and that's where a lot of the operators have publicly started committing to being interested in. So that's where we're really expecting probably two of the more larger urban integrated resorts to ultimately end up. And then, maybe a third one in potentially a more rural area, but it's a little less clear, where that one might end up being. So I would probably point to those first two, Osaka and Yokohama, as they're emerging as the leaders in terms of attracting interest from the major global gaming operators.
And who do you see are potential bidders for this project? Is there any indication from Malaysia's Genting to make a bid?
Just from a high-level perspective, we would expect pretty much any global gaming operator to, at some level, be interested in having a casino in this jurisdiction. There's diversification benefits you get from having a property here. If you operate elsewhere in the world, there's potential cross-play opportunities with some of their customers. So from that perspective, it's an attractive proposal for any global gaming operator. That being said, there is going to be considerable development costs, and you know, there are some hurdles from a regulatory perspective in terms of the return perspectives, but really there are a lot of companies that have already publicly stated that they're interested. MGM specifically in Osaka, Melco Resorts, Las Vegas Sands, kind of the who's who and all the companies you would expect to be interested in these licenses, and Genting Singapore as well has expressed interest in Osaka.
So what kind of impact do you see the opening of these integrated resorts having on the Japanese economy then?
So it's really tough to say and pinpoint at this point until we know exactly where the properties are going to be, what's going to be developed, how it's going to be integrated in the local, what the local infrastructure might be. It's difficult to have, you know, let's say a number or sort of a main takeaway from that. But just stepping back and thinking about, you know, what these casinos can do, you know, I think it'll be helpful from a tourism perspective. There's been a lot of expectations that they're interested in sort of creating something similar to what we have here in Singapore, you know, with two iconic properties that drive a lot of tourism and interest from people coming to visit the area to, yes, come and gamble, but also see these properties, maybe come to attend a conference with the convention space they have here. So I think from a tourism perspective, it'll be a positive. It's hard to say exactly how much and what form that'll take because we don't necessarily know exactly what's going to be built yet. But there has been obviously an interest in making sure that there's large hotels, there's a large amount of MICE space and convention space to attract that sort of customer, and interest in developing something iconic that, you know, travelers from around the world would want to come and visit.
Thank you very much, Colin. And that was Colin Mansfield, Director of US Corporates at Fitch Ratings. And really, this is going to be quite an interesting development to see actually be implemented in Japan. Because if we remember, right before the legalization of gambling in June of 2018, Japan's main gaming industries revolved around pachinko, which is basically a kind of pinball, right? And if you look at, there are some reports that say that the Japanese actually spent $200 billion on pachinko every year. And that's a huge amount of money. It's about 30 times the annual gambling revenue of Las Vegas. It's double Japan's export car industry and more than even New Zealand's entire GDP.
Actually, pachinko is technically not a gambling game because there are no cash prizes involved. But I guess the pachinko players has gamed the game by going around the street corner to exchange their teddy bears with some cash. There's also boat racing and as well as horse racing. Boat racing, I've never actually heard of that. But certainly, while people are very worried about the addiction problem of gambling in Japan, the economic benefits are undeniable.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you're talking about a country that has had bouts of deflation, very, very, very slow economic growth, barely 1% sometimes. So for them, tourism is the next way that they see growing their economy. I mean, already next year, there's going to be Olympic Games, a lot riding on that. So I think they want to build on this tourism team. For sure, gaming, I mean, it's a way to attract tourism. Look at Singapore. They resurrected their tourism industry or revived their tourism industry by having these two iconic game sites, once on Sentosa and Marina Bay Sands. So I'm sure Japan wants to mimic that, copy that. But it's not just about the gambling tables, right? The idea is to have also lifestyle offerings, to have conventions, maybe even a theme park so that you have families come and enjoy the entertainment. But I'm just curious, who's going to win the race? Because if there are three sites, who do you think will be the eventual winners of these three sites? Maybe even our own Genting Singapore, they'll be bidding. But I'm sure it's going to attract international players.
I like it when you say our very own Genting Singapore.
Well, they're listed in Singapore, that's why it's Genting Singapore. But Holding Co is still Genting Berhad. Of course, you're going to see the likes of Wynn, you know, names like that. They're going to throw their hat in. Because like you say, Lynn, 200 billion. 200 billion. Everybody's eyeing that potential revenue, right?
Yeah, because as you explained, Julian, it's pachinko's not really an outright gambling institution, but they've managed to make it a gambling institution. So you wonder how much of that revenue will be able to be redirected towards an actual legalized game gambling industry. And haven't there been some reports that going forward, gambling revenues could add as much as, 1% to Japan's GDP?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just purely gambling, but also the tourism revenue that's surrounding the entire resort concept. As you mentioned, a lot of things are there apart from gaming. Even Macau, which used to be a purer gambling destination, is now thinking of how to do it, like follow the Singapore the Singapore way of doing it. And there is a lot of appeal in Macau as well, especially in the historical sites, in the food that they have to offer. So a lot of people are getting into this gambling game. And there are ways to actually restrict the addiction problem. For example, you can restrict locals from going in every day by imposing some sort of a punitive fee, like what Singapore does. I think Singapore is like $100 a day for local or something like that. So it's they make it very unaffordable for the locals to get in and therefore insulate the locals from the perceived problems.
Yeah, gaming addiction, of course, is something serious, and I'm sure the Japanese government will be thinking a little bit on this, how to prevent it. I mean, but when you compare it to pachinko, there are no restrictions on pachinko. Anyone can go into a pachinko
pachinko almost, parlors.
I've walked in before wondering how this machine works. And
there are a lot of them. There are nearly 11,000 pachinko parlors at last count around the country.
Yeah, so I'm just curious to see what kind of measures the Japanese government will have to kind of restrict this gaming addiction problem.
They've got a little bit of time left since these integrated resorts aren't expected to be opened until 2025. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they go about it. But right now we're heading into a few messages and then we'll be back with more local stories for you. So be sure to keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.